The following program contains coarse language and scenes of nudity. No, hold on, don't turn me off yet. No. That's just something I wanted to bring right off the top to your attention. Because I've entitled my message, If It Talks Like a Duck, or If It Looks Like a Duck, If It Walks Like a Duck, whoa, that very disclaimer. The following program contains coarse language and scenes of nudity. If you watch TV, you must have seen that numerous times as a disclaimer before you watch the program. Now, this seems all well and good when you're talking about regular programming. But how many of you remember when Vision TV came on the air some years ago? I remember quite well. It was supposed to glorify God. It was supposed to show us that there was something good on TV besides the old rock and roll killing and street muggings and what have you. So their agenda was to present good family programming. Okay? And I hesitate to use the word, with a religious overtone. Sometimes even Christian, if I dare to go that far. But I have to see this very, very a disclaimer last night at work when I was panning through the channel, seeing anything decent on it. So I checked Vision TV, and there it was. My, oh my, you know, is there anything sacred anymore these days? I have to wonder. If it looks like a duck, ooh. Well, anyway, that's the title of my message today. If it looks like a duck. So hang in there. We're going on a journey. You know, when the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? What did they answer? Well, since Paul and Silas were themselves saved, they answered the way God inspired them to. If we turn to Acts 16:31, we'll see their answer, which states, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Ooh, good answer, right? Amen. Amen. If it's good enough for Paul and Silas back then, it's good enough for us today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. More in a moment, but first, let us have a word of prayer to ask God to give me the utterance I need, give me the wisdom that's required. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this, another opportunity you've given me, Lord, to deliver another sermon. I thank you for the words, Lord, that you've put on paper for me to read, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your holy book. I thank you, Lord, for saving my soul, Lord, and those who are close to me, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the sun that shines upon me throughout the day. And I thank you for the rest you give me at night. But most of all, I thank you, Lord God, for Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Believe I do on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I got saved. Oh, yes, I did. Many years ago now. But how grateful I am, Lord God, that Thou hast seen fit to draw me to Thy Son, and that perfect salvation has come unto me. Thank you, Lord, for what I'm about to do. And Lord God, please give me utterance, for I ask it in His wonderful name, Jesus Christ I'm talking about. Amen. Amen. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Then why do people today have to complicate matters? Well, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe all that stuff. Do you really? Have you asked Him into your heart? Have you repented? Have you turned to Christ in believing that He suffered and died, shed His precious blood on the cross at Calvary, and then rose again on the third day, and you have a desire to change your life around and live it for Him? Then tell me you believe. Have you done these things? It's a simple question. It's a simple statement. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And yes, indeed. But it's a belief that comes with conditions. Yes, there are conditions to your salvation. Do you still feel that you want to go out and do those things you did before? Do you still feel you want to talk the way you talked before? Do you still feel you want to watch the things you watched before? Do you want to party with the boys or the girls like you used to before? Tell me, is your heart changing? Are you coming around? Are the old things passing away? Are all things becoming new in your life? If they're not, you better examine yourselves, because if it looks like a duck, doesn't mean it is a duck. If you don't look like you are saved, if you don't behave like you're saved, you may not be saved. You know, my mama used to say, and I'm quoting her, she asked, women have received a special gift from God, she said. Now, my mama wasn't even saved, to the best of my knowledge. And she went on to say, it's only for women, this gift. It's called women's intuition. Haven't you ever heard a woman say, well, I just knew that was going to happen? Or, I knew she'd say that. Or this whopper. Look, I'll tell you. I had this feeling inside me. It's going to rain, so that's why I didn't bother hanging out the wash today and took an umbrella with me. I just had this feeling. I mean, it was a clear blue sky and we started out, but I knew. Inside me, I knew it was going to rain. And it goes on and on and on. The thing is, if I had been a fly on that jailer's wall at that prison when Paul and Silas were freed from their shackles, and my wife came buzzing in next to me at that precise moment in that jailer's life, I know exactly what she would have said. Well, George, what did you expect that jailer to say? I mean, with the walls of the prison crumbling down all around his ears. Got a cigar? Oh, my dear wife, no. She might not have said that, but there are some who may have. Well, you know, we know, or at least we think we know, he didn't ask for a cigar, okay? The poor fellow was working as a jailer, probably struggling to feed his family, just like most folks was back then, just doing his job. He was the prison jailer. That's what he's called in the book of Acts. The jailer. The prison jailer. Yes. Which brings me back to the title of my message again. If it looks like a duck, do you think he looked like a prison jailer? Well, we don't really know what a prison jailer had to look like back then. Well, you know, they had a bunch of keys, I imagine, jangling keys for opening these steel doors and what have you. And they probably had a weapon of some kind, too, to protect themselves. But you know, there are several things to note in this particular scripture. Let's back up to verse 24. Who, having received a charge, thrust them, talking about Paul and Silas, the jailer, thrust them into the inner prison, made their feet fast in the stocks, or we call them shackles. And at midnight, we'll get into that in a second, okay? Acts 16, verse 24. Having received the charge. Now having Paul and Silas entrusted to his care, the jailer quickly realized that these guys, well, they were the creme de la creme of prisoners to him, because special care had to be given to them. They were not to escape. They were not to get loose in any way, shape, or form. They were like, as I said, the creme de la creme of the prisoners. And if he didn't look after them, well, certainly his neck was on the line. Verse 24, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison. He may have just given them a push when he opened the door and said, "Get in there, you bunch of rabble." Maybe not, but maybe so. He thrust them, didn't say he asked them to enter. It says he thrust them, sounds like a big push to me, into the inner prison, the place where you are most definitely not going to escape. Okay? You know what I'm talking about today? It's where big, ugly rats like to feed on human flesh. And on top of all that, their feet were put into stocks, into shackles. I mean, they weren't going to escape from that prison nohow. Now, hypothetically speaking, wouldn't you say Paul and Silas were thrown into that prison because they walked like a duck? Well, think about that now. Okay, let's say for the sake of argument, like Christian ducks. There's no doubt that they were Christians. Okay, like Christians. They were saved. They served the Lord. They prayed. They even sang praises unto God. Verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. At midnight. Can you imagine? Your TV come blaring on, or your radio blaring on at midnight when you're just into a deep slumber, so loud that that everybody in the house just goes, "Hey, what's going on here?" Well, they sang praises, Paul and Silas. Now you got to visualize this. They sang praises unto God at midnight, so loud that all the other prisoners heard them. Well, I wouldn't doubt it. You imagine like a dungeon they were in. Everything you whispered or said would just echo all over the place. Do you suppose they had fancy drums and electric steel guitars for backup? Huh? So why is it that Paul and Silas were in prison to begin with? Well, there's a couple of reasons. First, and this can happen today, it does happen today, they were exercising their freedom of worship. Amen? They were praying and casting out demons, which some people did not agree with, because it was bad business. The devil's business. Demons was very important. Demons were very important for business back then. People didn't believe in demons. Then they couldn't get people to sell them things that would help get rid of them or keep them at bay. Secondly, Paul and Silas were sent to prison. Now, they were sent there. Now, it's not like, just the guards come along, you know, and he's picked them up and say, "You guys going to prison, you know, we're going to charge you with mischief and blah, 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 blah." But they were sent to prison. Whose idea do you think this was? You get it? God. It was Jesus who had them sent to prison to witness to precious souls. There may have only been one other prisoner in there that God was wanting to draw to His Son. And they sent Paul and Silas to go and do this. Or there may have been several. But we know for sure one of them was the Philippian jailer. They were sent to prison to witness to precious souls. Souls that were searching. Souls that were locked up and couldn't hear the good news of the gospel. Souls the Lord Jesus died for. Just like you and me. Amen? Amen. Verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. I said praises, folks. I said praises. I did not say they rocked and rolled. I did not say they hip-hopped. I did not say they jazzed it up. No, sir. I said praises. It's praises that raises the soul. Glory, hallelujah. Yes, sir. Now, get this next line. Listen carefully to this next line. And the prisoners heard them. Well, no kidding. I have no doubt in my mind that the other prisoners heard them. Wow. the prisoners heard them. This was why they were there, to be heard on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has His ways. Don't you forget that. And now, being midnight, it's quite possible that many of the prisoners may have been asleep, especially when they heard the melodic sounds of Paul and Silas singing praises unto God. No hallelujah chorus here, no big bopper drums, no twangy steel guitars, no siree, just heartfelt praise unto God. Hallelujah. So, this is just so exciting. Have you really given it any thought? It's so exciting. Verse 26, this is now where we see the Lord's plan ready to go into action. Verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. A great earthquake. Not just an earthquake, not just a little rumbling underground, not just a little shattering of a glass on a shelf, but a great earthquake. You know, I think that earthquake wasn't, you know, spread out too far. I think it was just really under that prison that night. God sent that earthquake there. Yes, it was a great earthquake. So the foundations of the prison were shaken. Now, these prisons were well made back in those days. Oh, yeah, heavy rock and stone of all kinds. And immediately, now get this, all the doors were opened. Now, ain't that something? Everyone's bands were loosed. Eat your heart out, John Steinbeck. All the doors were opened. That earthquake opened all the doors to the prison cells. And all the stocks, their bands, their shackles fell off. I'd say that'd be quite an earthquake, wouldn't you? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Talk about getting everyone's attention. Oh, they got their attention all right. This was the original God we're talking about here. God did not cause that prison to rock, no sir. He caused that prison to come to the rock. And you know who I mean. Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know how many prisoners are in that jail at that midnight, but I do know one thing for sure. They got the gospel. Oh, yeah, they got the gospel. I mean, think of it. Paul and Silas singing praises unto the Lord. Oh, well, they weren't singing Blessed Assurance, stuff like that. No, but they didn't have today's hymn books. But they knew how to sing praises unto God. Oh yes, they knew. They were singing praises unto the Lord. The shackles were falling free from their hands and feet. And the earthquake had caused it all. The earthquake that God caused to come upon this place. Was God there in that prison? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So what does God have to do to get your attention? You need an earthquake under your feet? Is that what you need? Well, God can supply that, you know. How about another 9/11? Another Katrina? Another Haiti? Look at verse 27 now. Talk about a rude awakening. The jailer was at wit's end. I mean, all the prisoners were suddenly unbound, unshackled. What's to keep them there? So what did he think? Oh no! They're all loose, they're all going to get out! And they'll kill me. I'm going to kill myself. He was going to kill himself. Actually, he was. That's how distraught he was. The jailer was actually going to take his own life, commit suicide. The jailer was going to commit suicide. Verse 28. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm." And get this. "For we are all here." Wow! We are all here! Not a soul tried to escape! Can you imagine it? Was this whole thing orchestrated by God or what? Oh! I don't know about the prisoners, except that none of them took off. I'm afraid if I'd been one of them, I'd been out the door before the rumbling stopped. Down the street somewhere, hiding in the bushes. Why did they not run when they had the opportunity? Confusion? Was it because of the confusion? Well, let me tell you this, God is not the author of confusion. You know what I think? I think we got us a revival here. A real revival here. Did all the prisoners get saved? Well, how many were there? We don't know. It doesn't say. It doesn't say how many got saved. Or if any. Verse 31 now. Verse 31. In response to the jailer who wanted to know how to be saved. Remember, he said, what must I do to be saved? Paul and Silas simply said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And he added another phrase at the end of that. And thy house. If they believe, they shall also be saved. This revival was about to spread over into the jailer's own house, where the Lord would save all his family. Oh, man. When the Holy Spirit of God moves, great things begin to happen. Yes, great things begin to happen indeed. Oh, what a lovely stories. The Lord would save all. Macedonia, Catholic, Roman. Its chief city is Philippi. The jailer is a Philippian. Most likely a Roman Catholic. We don't know for sure. Did you ever consider how other religions might respond to the cries of the Philippian jailer when he said, what must I do to be saved? Did you ever think what other religions would say? The Confucius scholar might say, if you want to be saved, be sure to study the sacred classics and learn the rules of righteousness. Confucius can show you the way, but in the end, you must save yourself. The Buddhist, they might say, you must seek nirvana, the state of the extinguished flame. Forget you have a body. Become indifferent to pain and pleasure. The Hindu priest would likely reply, worship the monkey and the cow. Crawl in the dust like a worm to some sacred temple. Bathe in the waters of the Ganges. And you may avoid being born again as a reptile or a beast or a woman. The Islamic might say, I know you're all waiting for this one. Tell all the world there is no God but Allah and His Prophet Muhammad. Pray 5 times daily. Read the Quran. Visit Mecca and kill all the Christians and Jews in the world. Whoa! A Catholic priest might say, to be saved, you must believe in Mary as co-redemptress. Confess all your sins to a priest. And don't try to read and understand the Bible. We could go on and on and on, people. But the bottom line simply is what Paul and Silas said to the Philippian jailer. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Although it's not explained here in the Scriptures, the key words are brought forth. Believe. In what? In who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus saith, he that believeth on me, I will in no wise cast out. Great. The word believe encompasses a lot more. I mean, even the devil believes, and he trembles. For to truly believe means the entire gospel that Jesus Christ suffered and died on Calvary's cross for our sins, that He was buried and rose again on the third day. And to put it simply, and you might debate this, and I don't care if you do, He died before 6 p.m. on Wednesday. He rose on Saturday before 6 p.m. 3 nights, 3 days. That's all I have to say. If you don't believe it, that's your problem, not mine. This you can be sure of, though. Before Paul and Silas left the jailer's house, conversion had become a household word. And everyone that lived there got saved. Praise be to God. Amen, amen, and amen. Now, what about the other prisoners in that Philippian jail? Let's get back to them. The scriptures, they don't go on to elaborate. But the only thing I can deduce from the entire scenario is that the prisoners, however many they were, all received the gospel, and not one of them tried to escape. Now, why do I say this? Because the complete happening, the entire miraculous event, was orchestrated by God, by Jesus Christ. It was Christ who sent Paul and Silas to that Philippian jail. It was Jesus who encouraged Paul and Silas to sing praises unto His holy name. It was Jesus who brought on the earthquake, indicating His presence. It was Jesus who touched the hearts of all the prisoners in there. Through His Word in song, through His power in the earthquake, and through His mercy, that all would be safe or saved. Acts 16:33 tells us, "And He, the jailer, took them, Paul and Silas, the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes," their beaten bodies. They had been punished greatly. They'd been whipped before they were thrown into prison. He washed their beaten bodies and was baptized, he and his, straightway. The Philippian jailer and his whole house were baptized that night. After which he took them and he set meat before them in his house, and they rejoiced, believing in God with all the house. Believing in God, all the house. But it doesn't end here. No, for then they returned to the prison so as not to cause any trouble for the jailer. Now, I'd have thought, well, they went, once they went back to the prison, and all the prisoners would be gone. Surely they ran away. Well, we don't really know the answer to that. But if they didn't run away when it happened, why would they run away after it happened? Would they not be fearful that they get caught and they get beaten, whipped, and thrown back into the deeper dungeons? I don't know. It doesn't matter. For then they returned to the prison so as not to cause any trouble for the jailer, only to shortly be released by the magistrates. Paul and Silas were released. Was it because they returned back to the prison? Was it because, and I think this may be it, because none of the prisoners really took off or escaped, that God held them in check, would not let them leave? They were released by the magistrates, it says. So there was no jailbreak, really. None of the prisoners fled. Everything was back to normal. Everything, that is, except for the precious souls that were brought to the Lord Jesus Christ that night in that Philippian prison. If it looks like a duck, what a wonderful story, with a truly, truly victorious ending. Praise be unto God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity to give this sermon. Oh, Lord, You are so mighty. You are so wonderful and gracious, Lord. You are so powerful. You cause this great earthquake. You cause these things to happen, Lord God. The doors to fly open. The shackles to fly off their feet. And held them there so none would escape. Oh, Lord, I can't help think but believing they were rejoicing in Thee as well. And the Philippian jailer, the centerpiece of the whole story. What must I do to be saved? There he went back to his family with Paul and Silas. And his whole house got saved too. They believed, just like we believe, Lord God. Thank You, Lord Jesus. In Your name I pray. Amen. Amen.